During the 1940s, there was an often heard comment regarding GIs that when they got home from World War II, the second thing they were going to do was take their boots off. And so, here we are more than six decades later, and the baby boom generation is, you know, as it's always been, is huge and is moving through time and is getting older, approaching retirement, some already in retirement. Can you share some figures, some projections about how big this generation is as it relates to Metro Atlanta?
The good thing about being at the Atlanta Regional Commission, we have a very robust research staff that has really been helping us over the many years trying to understand this shift, because it really reflects, you know, what we do as an agency and how we provide services and tools for the people that we serve. And so really looking at the Atlanta region's demographics and the state's demographics, we are definitely keeping pace with national trends at predicting that we are planning to double our older adult population between now and 2040. So that's going from 1 in 10 older adults over the age of 60 to 1 in 5. And that's not going to just happen in, you know, in 2030, 2040, all of a sudden we open the door and there's all these people that are in that age group, but we're really going to start to see the growth in that bubble up in 2016, 2017. So what we're trying to do with our initiative is to help communities prepare for this growth of older adults, because it's a population cohort that we've never planned for, this many people at one time.
Most people facing their retirement, the ideal is to age in place. You want to stay in the home you've been in. You want to be independent, self-reliant. Is that a goal of the Lifelong Community Initiative?
Yes. Our goal is to keep people healthy and independent as long as possible in their homes and in their communities, and helping the communities adapt to this desire and this change, the changing needs of older adults to live in their homes and communities. What does that look like? What do they need? And how do communities prepare? And we, our three specific goals that we follow in trying to work with communities on this issue is promoting housing and transportation options, encouraging healthy lifestyles, and expanding access to services. We understand the people that we serve through our role in aging services and the need to try to keep those resources for the oldest and most frail. And if you're doubling your population and you're not doubling your resources, you have to look at how do you keep more of those people in the group of healthy and independent for as long as possible so that you can keep those resources, much needed resources, for those that are your oldest and most frail.
Public transportation, recreation opportunities, health care certainly, walkability.
Right.
Sounds like what many in-town Atlanta residents value. You know, when you think about that, I mean, what is the difference between, you know, the nice, tight-knit little community like you might find in some in-town neighborhoods and a lifelong community?
I think there are many similarities. I think if you looked at our goals and objectives, they're so similar to those that were all around traditional neighborhood development that the GIs came back to in the 1940s, and they didn't need, they were able to walk to the things that they needed. But we also recognize that the Atlanta region is really built in a much different, way. We have many communities that have built out through conventional suburban development patterns, which is fine, and they served a purpose that they needed. And many of our older adults and these boomers are in those communities. And so with our work, it's not just, you know, maybe how can one community become much more like an in-town community and get things closer together? What are some other things that those suburban communities can start to chip away at? And one piece is recognition that people are here and they're in these communities, they don't have the transportation services that they need. And we've been able to make a lot of progress in working in different capacities with different communities like Fayette County, for example. Their senior services division has taken a major initiative in building up, raising money, going after grant money to create a voucher program that they're giving older adults the ability to make decisions about their rides as they need, and expanding that to persons with disabilities. And so they've created a program around the recognition that older adults live in Fayette County. They're going to remain in Fayette County. We need to find some solutions to help them do this successfully. And we know that a public transit system isn't coming into Fayette County to solve these. So what are some other innovative solutions? And their voucher program has really started to tackle that. So we're not going to be able to change communities all over the region at one time, but getting our foot in the door and working with them where they're ready to start. A lifelong community, I think if you put all of those pieces together with housing, transportation, close access to services, walkability opportunities, access to parks and green space, is going to look a lot like an in-town neighborhood, and traditional, maybe more of a traditional neighborhood versus really an in-town, but traditional neighborhood development pattern.
When you look at Metro Atlanta, though, it is far-flung. I mean, it is suburban to the max, the whole north side, the east side, the south side now, Henry County and all that. And you've got people living in communities where you've got to have at least one automobile, if not two, in a household to shop and recreate and work. The cost to me, in just imagining trying to retrofit, if I can use that word, that may not be the right word, to make these areas age-friendly, almost would seem insurmountable. It might be easier to move the older population out rather than adapt what exists.
Well, we certainly aren't going to take any kind of position that we have to move people in mass scale to different communities.
I wasn't advocating that, but I mean...
I understand what you mean. And I think if you think about lifelong communities and that bigger picture perspective, it does seem a little daunting. And how are we going to make progress? But we really, truly are. And a lot of it is working with the communities. We're probably... have our foot in the door and a relationship building with over 12 different communities in the Atlanta region since we started this in 2008, and making significant progress with them. And it's a lot about recognition, understanding who lives in your community and the needs that they have or will have as they age, and recognizing that they want to stay in the community. And what are those places where we can meet you at that you're ready to make a difference? And for example, Woodstock. Worked with the Atlanta Regional Commission to adopt a senior housing ordinance in 2008, and they now have a fantastic senior living opportunity that they never had before. It is considered much more affordable. It's rental. It's dense. It's off of Town Lake Parkway. It's a hearthside property, and was filled before it opened. It was an exciting opportunity for that community that they never had an option. They never had another option if they wanted to downsize and get out of that house. So we do a lot of work with communities and kind of trying to understand those trends and what older adults are even looking for. We've been able to create a lifelong community citizen assessment survey so that we can get out into the community and ask the people themselves, what do you want to age successfully in your community? And then we help them articulate that to their community leaders. In South Cobb County, over the last 3 years in the community of Mapleton, and we've worked really closely, really under the direction of the county planning department and their civic association and the business association to help them understand the demographics of Mapleton and the whole concept of aging in place and what it means. And they've done a number of things over these 3 years to really integrate the concepts and be positioned, be well positioned. They want to redevelop their community, and now they have the tools to do it. They worked on their zoning code that could allow for housing options. They have worked together between the Civic Association and the Transportation Department to identify their needs with walkability. And now two different projects are underway, the Floyd Road Reconstruction Project that is going to add a 10-foot pathway all the way to the Silver Comet Trail. And so it's really trying to help the community kind of understand what this concept of aging in place is, how it benefits the young and the old. Walkable communities are good for older adults as well as the child trying to cross the street to get to school, or the parent pushing the stroller. And recognizing that these things can all exist if we work together to advocate for them. And a lot of it is helping the communities really just get their arms around this change, this dramatic increase in older adults and what it means.
Do you find that communities in Metro Atlanta are open to this? Are you initiating contact with the various communities, or are they contacting the ARC and saying, you know what, we need some assistance in this?
And that's the great thing about the Atlanta region. I really think that the people who live here are, want to see a positive outcome for aging in the Atlanta region. I think that there is a recognition of the wisdom and the volunteer force that older adults bring to our communities. And these communities are contacting us. They're coming to us and saying, we want to be part of this movement. We want to be part of this initiative. We want to make sure that our residents have what they need to stay in our communities. help us do that. And so we're doing it as they're ready to work on it. The changes are massive. They're large scale to some degree, but in some cases, it's helping the residents understand how to access information and services, knowing what exists to age in place. Where, how can you get in-home care? What services does the county offer? We work with all 10 county departments of senior services as part of what we do as aging services, and they do a fantastic job providing Meals on Wheels for those meals for those who need them, transportation services for those who need them, senior center programming and services. But the communities themselves recognize they need to adapt if they're going to do change things at a broader scale in the built environment. But all of our counties that make up the Atlanta Regional Commission adopted a resolution in 2008 to support lifelong communities. And so now it's just taking this one step at a time and meeting those communities, you know, where they're ready to start and get going.
And if the ideal when it comes to aging in place is to keep someone in their home, that is the ideal, and that may be the toughest thing to achieve overall, because people's needs vary and their family needs vary or their family situation varies. What are some of the housing options for elder members of the community? I mean, you know, typically the old model says, well, if someone gets too old, they end up in a nursing home or assisted living. There are now communities for people over 50. But aren't there some newer options being created? I think about co-housing, various village models. And are any of those in existence that you know of in the Metro Atlanta area right now?
There are, and there aren't many different options to look at, but there are, and we're working with them to try to market those ideas. A lot of what we've been doing over the last 3 years is really making people aware, making people introducing them to new concepts. And, you know, but going back, we are about all housing options because there is a purpose and role for many different housing options. And we want them to be there when people need them. Some of the things that you mentioned, like co-housing, there is a great development that's considered co-housing in the Eastlake area. And a colleague, a friend, has been a big advocate of the whole concept of visitability. And visitability is about new housing having at least one zero-step entryway somewhere in the house so that if a person who is disabled lives there, can continue to live there, or you can have a visitor who has a disability, that you have wider doors and halls on the main so that you can get around that main floor should your needs change, and that there is at least one, at least half bath that is accessible on the first floor so that you can have much more access within your on that first floor of your home. Teaching people about what visitability means and how we can incorporate that into our building codes and advocate for it. Because I think the statistic is that over the life of a house, 1 in 5 homes will have someone with a disability in there. Maybe not long-term disability, but even a short-term disability can change, you know, how you move and function within your own home. And so we've been doing a lot of work in trying to advocate for those concepts. We've made some progress in hosting a number of community planning education series on it. I mean, that's an easy thing. 3 things in a building code to help educate builders to build these things and more of them in our communities, creating more opportunities for housing. You know, if it's in rental housing or loft housing, that there is elevator access. These don't have to be, you know, dedicated 65-plus housing, but that the housing itself is accessible and has the visitability features. And we're starting to see some of that get constructed. We've obviously been facing a housing crisis for so many years now, but I think as we can continue to push those concepts out there and help educate and educate the right people, we may start to see some movement.
And I would think it's important to maintain the delicate balance of an integrated community. I'm not talking about race. I'm talking about age integration. You don't want to create a community necessarily that has all the elder people concentrated in one area, if you follow me, like in this cul-de-sac or in this neighborhood. I think the ideal would be to have, you know, the perfect blend of young and old and middle-aged and kids and retirees. But that would be kind of tricky, I would think.
Well, I think it's just providing options because you're going to have some people that may want to have that you know, be around other people their age, and they've already spent their life raising kids and grandkids, and they want to have more time, you know, with other people their own age. And that's why our concepts are all about options. And what we see across the Atlanta region is that there just aren't a lot of options. You know, the home that you live in now is the option people gravitate towards, because we don't see this, all of these options available. We definitely have a pool of things to choose from. But doing more things where housing has visibility. You can buy a new house or a smaller house. We have more cottage-style homes. Those are ways to integrate the housing into an intergenerational type of community. You know, so you have multiple age groups, but then a person can move in there and stay there as their needs change. That you no longer have to go up two flights, you know, go up a set of stairs to get to your bedroom.
When you talk about easy first steps in helping communities make a transition, when I think about walkability, I've got to think sidewalks mm-hmm. would be the first and most obvious thing mm-hmm. that would be kind of simple and, relatively speaking, not that expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, over the last 3 years, we've been trying to focus our attention on areas that are sort of ripe for development or redevelopment. Because in some of those thoroughfares that you're probably thinking of in your mind, it may not be appropriate for people to even be walking there right now. So even with a sidewalk, which, you know, we definitely advocate for complete streets when they're constructed, so people have that option to walk. But at least for right now, and just thinking in generally across the Atlanta region, we're looking in areas where the communities are willing to work and where they, you know, want us to be there, and areas where there are opportunities for development and redevelopment. And so then we can start thinking with them on a comprehensive plan on how do you add the sidewalks in if you're going to start advocating for housing in this particular area. You know, where does the sidewalk go? How does it connect someone to the services that they may need? The pharmacy, the grocery store, the park, and if those options even exist.
Are you optimistic that the Metro Atlanta region will be able to adapt in time to handle the baby boom generation and beyond?
I'm very optimistic that this region is committed to the needs of all of its residents and working towards solutions. And I think that just ARC's political support and the leadership from the Atlanta Regional Commission around these issues in adopting it as a resolution, and then some of the counties themselves going and adopting it as a local resolution, you know, that's that first step in saying this is an important issue to us. We may not have all the solutions today, but we're going to keep working on them. And a lot of it is about, you know, keeping focused on those three goals. And that's been an important part of our process of encouraging healthy lifestyles and promoting housing and transportation and expanding access to services. And we know that communities are planning and making decisions every single day. It's how do we integrate those concepts into that decision-making process.
All right. Laura Keyes is Community Development Manager with the Atlanta Regional Commission's Aging Services Division. Laura, fascinating. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much.